Good morning, Grace Fellowship. Great to see you this morning. Glad you're in church. I think in God's humor, he's given me a frog in my throat this morning, so it sounds like I've just reached puberty while I'm talking to you about how to talk to your kids about sex. All right, let's study God's Word together. Look with me inside your bulletin. Pull out the sermon notes you find there. It's a white half sheet entitled Parenting 101. Encourage you to get those notes out. Grab a pen. Get ready to take some notes. And then if you brought a Bible with you, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians. New Testament, about 85% of the way through your Bible. You got Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then Galatians, then Ephesians. If you get to Philippians or Colossians, you've gone too far. Ephesians chapter 4 is the scripture that we'll look together in our Bibles at. We're in the sermon series called Parenting 101. We're taking 7 Sundays to study what the Bible has to say about parenting. And today we're going to look at how to talk to our children about sex. Surely it doesn't get any more awkward than this, talking to our children about sex. Watch this video and just feel the awkwardness. Just feel it. Watch this.
Do you know why we're here today?
For a video?
We're going to talk about where babies come from.
Do you know anything about intercourse?
So, today we're going to talk about how babies are made and where they come from.
Yay. Would you like to know how babies are made?
Made of water. Humans are made of water.
Yeah, I knew it. That's true.
From God.
From God?
I thought it was because of God that sent us down into your stomach to be born.
To be born?
Sperm, egg, collide, Bella.
What do you mean, sperm, egg, collide? Where did you learn that from?
Nick. Duh.
Who's Nick?
My brother.
What did he tell you?
Bad stuff.
What makes me a man and what makes mom a woman?
You have bigger hands in her. There's some kind of hole here, like an igloo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it, an igloo. Talk about awkward. I'm wondering, who had the talk with you? Was it your mom? Was it your dad? Both your parents? Was it a book? Was it some friends? Or nobody? Did nobody have the talk with you? Parents, what's your game plan for talking to your children about sex? This morning I'd like to offer you some suggestions, starting with what I put in the box there in your notes. If I could kind of summarize it all, it would be this one statement in the box. Today's big point is this. The birds and the bees is way more than a single sit-down talk. Rather, it involves multiple intentional conversations at several key ages, and it involves a great relational base that allows for questions and answers along the way. So the first fill in the blank there is multiple intentional conversations. The birds and the bees is way more than a single talk. Rather, it involves multiple intentional conversations at several key ages along the way, and it involves a great relational base that allows for Q&A along the way as well. So let's say a prayer, and then we're going to dive into our talk together. Pray with me, please. Lord, the burden you've been putting on my heart, I just want to pray back to you right now, and that is that you'd raise up a whole new generation of gospel bearers who are pure. Lord, through the years, I've just watched that more than anything else, what sidelines people in kingdom work is sexual sin. And so, Lord, would you equip us as parents to turn around and equip our children to walk in moral purity for the sake of the fulfillment of the Great Commission? Would you raise up a whole generation of gospel bearers who are walking in moral purity and integrity in the gospel of Christ. That's our prayer. And we ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today's message is based on 3 scriptures and really is the application of these 3 scriptures. We've already looked at 2 of these in the past, and we're going to look at a 3rd one afresh. I put the 1st one there in your notes, Deuteronomy 6. We looked at this a few weeks ago. Deuteronomy 6 says this. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress these commandments on your children. Talk about these commandments when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So Moses is talking about the commandments of the Old Testament, which include love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but also includes the commandments about sexuality. So parents, part of our job is to impress upon our children God's commandments about sexuality. Second scripture is the one I want us to look up together, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Look at it, verse 15. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And so the main point of this verse is to speak the truth in love. Parents, we need to speak the truth to our children. We don't need to be telling them about some stork that brings a baby. That's not the truth. Speak the truth in love. We'll come back to that. And then the third scripture is Ephesians 6, which I put in your notes there. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So we're to train our children, and part of that training is what we're talking about today. So there you have the three scriptures. Now what I want to do is apply those scriptures to our topic this morning. So look at your notes. Here we go. Part of training our children in the Lord is teaching them God's commandments regarding sexuality. So I've tried to put in your notes just a good summary of a dozen or so scriptures that are God's commandments about sexuality. Parents, our job is to teach these scriptures to our kids. So here's the summary. First of all, parents, we need to teach our children that God created sex and that it's very good. I think it's super important we start here with our children because it's possible for us to spend so much time talking about God's boundaries around sexuality that we miss the point that God's the one that created sex and that it's very, very good. I think that's the first message we need to tell our children. God created sex. He's the one that thought it up. He's the one that put it together. And he declared that it's very, very good. Matter of fact, it's beyond very good. It's great. That's what we need to be teaching our children, positive. And then we need to teach our children that God created boundaries around sexuality, namely that our sexuality is to be enjoyed within the context of a marriage between one man and one woman. Thus, having sex with somebody that you're not married to is wrong. And we need to teach our children that pornography is wrong. Sex is a good gift from God, just like food is a good gift from God. And God created both sex and food to have boundaries around them. So how do you teach your children these things? How do you teach your children these commandments and impress these commandments on your children? Well, I believe that it involves a series of conversations that we have with our children over the years. And I want to recommend to you five intentional talks that you would have with your children that would actually set you up for a lifestyle of being able to talk with us about your children, an open door all the time. So here we go, five recommended talks. Talk number one is a series of conversations at different ages using age-appropriate books. So the next fill in the blank there is age-appropriate books. So talk number one is actually a series of conversations talking about sexuality at different ages using age-appropriate books. My wife Lisa and I want to recommend to you a book series called God's Design for Sex. It's a great Christian series, and we recommend it to you. So let me walk you through it. Book number one is for ages 3 through 5, and it's called The Story of Me. And it's written for a 3, 4, or 5-year-old to tell them how they came about. It doesn't get into intercourse. Rather, it just says, mommy and daddy love one another. God took a part of mommy and a part of daddy and put it together to make you out of their loving marriage relationship. There's a difference between boys and girls. And here's the anatomically correct name for your body part boy and your body part girl. That's the oomph of this. I recommend that you actually stick this with your Dr. Seuss books in the stack and that you read this book 10 times. This is a part of a regular reading, just like you read Go Dogs Go, that the story of me is one of those things that you read to your kid ages 3 and 4 over and over and over again. It's super easy, but it starts the conversation at an age-appropriate level. Book number two is for ages 5 through 8. This is a book called Before I Was Born. It gets a little bit more detailed. It actually talks about intercourse, but in an age-appropriate way. It talks about the differences between boys and girls. It talks about conception, fetal development, childbirth, and breastfeeding, God's plan for marriage and families, and an age-appropriate 5 to 8. I recommend that parents sit down with your children at roughly age 5 and 6 and read this to your child. This is going to open up the conversation, and they're going to ask questions either at the reading of this book or as they think about things afterwards. And this is book number 2 that I recommend. Speak the truth in love. Parents, tell the truth to your children. Don't make up some weird stuff because you're too embarrassed to talk about it. Tell them the truth. Book number 3, ages 8 through 11. It's called What's the Big Deal? This walks through the basic facts about sex at a detailed level. This is birds and the bees right here. It also talks about why God made adults to want to have sex and how sex is a good thing, but that we save it for marriage and there's boundaries. It also talks about the changes that are getting ready to happen in your body, and that's called puberty, and it talks about that. It talks about what gay means. It talks about AIDS. It talks about sexual abuse and how to protect yourself from that. I recommend that a parent sits down with his child and reads through this book together and then discusses it. Again, it opens the door for more questions. Book number 4, ages 11 through 14, is called Facing the Facts. This is no holds bar. This is all the details, all of it, all of the details. It talks about why God made men and women different. It talks about detailed changes that are happening in the body of your son, detailed changes that are getting ready to happen in the body of your daughter if they haven't happened already. How does a woman become pregnant in detail? How she gives birth, why you save sex for marriage, love and dating. There's a whole chapter that has these topics in it: peer pressure, pornography, what they might teach in school, masturbation, sexual abuse, homosexuality. And then there's a whole chapter on what kind of person does God want me to become? Really, really good stuff. I recommend that you give this book to your child and have them read it as homework on their own. That way they can read it at their own pace, they can study it. And then you set up a date for the two, for dad with a son, mom with a daughter, to get together and talk about this book. And depending on the personality of your child, you tell them, I'm going to be asking you some questions, and then you can ask me some questions. And then test them on the knowledge of to make sure they understand what's in this book. 4 books, 4 talks, and the books do most of the work. Now, Jim, what if I'm behind the 8-ball here? What if I've missed a couple of these age conversations? Well, I have to say, start with whatever age you're at. Don't go backwards. Don't read your 11-year-old the Story of Me book. Just start them with a book that's appropriate for their age and start there, and you're going to do just fine. The books really make it easy. They make it easy. But don't just give them a book and say, read this, and then never talk about it again. The whole point is to dialogue together. God has made you their number one teacher on this subject. You can do this. You can do this. All right, talk number 2. Talk number 2 is a talk about pornography. So the next fill in the blank there is the word pornography. Parents, we need to be proactively talking to our children about pornography. I recommend that you talk to your children about pornography at age 9. Dad, you talk to your son. Mom, you talk to your daughter. So when my son Smith was 9 years old, we had this talk. When my son John David was 9 years old, we had this talk. I'm just going to walk you through my talk with John David. I clearly remember it. So we had already read the first 2 books in the series I recommended to you. He had a lot of the basic facts already. John David and I were out on the driveway shooting hoops, just playing basketball together, and I decided I was going to have this talk. So we're shooting hoops, and I say, hey, John David, do you know what pornography is? 9 years old. He's 9 years old. He said, no, I don't know what that is, Dad. I said, well, I want to tell you about pornography. Pornography is pictures of naked women. And he kind of went, ooh. And I said, John David, I know that you think that sounds gross right now, But one day, you're going to think that a naked woman is really, really, really beautiful. Here's the deal, John David. God doesn't want you looking at pictures of naked women with one exception. God does want you to look at your wife naked one day. But he wants you to save your eyes to see your wife and your wife only. And here's the deal, John David. These pictures of naked women, that's somebody else's daughter. That's somebody else's sister. That's somebody else's wife or mother. And God doesn't want you looking at somebody else's sister or daughter or wife or mother. He wants you to save your eyes for your wife one day. Does that make sense to you, John David? And then usually when we dialogue, and inevitably both my boys said, well, why would anybody ever put out pictures or look at pictures of naked women? I say, well, that's a great question, John David. It's wrong, but part of the answer to that question is it's very, very appealing, because there is going to be a day when you're going to think it's really, really cool. But God has said, save your eyes for your wife. And then I remember we were in the driveway, we've been playing basketball, and I said, you know what, John David, I'm really hot and thirsty. Let's go inside and get a drink of water. He's like, okay. I said, let's go get a drink of water out of the toilet. I'm like, what are you talking about, Dad? I said, yeah, the toilet's got water in it. I'm hot and thirsty. Let's go get a drink of water out of the toilet. No, Dad. Well, why not, John David? Well, because there's poop particles in there, Dad, and there's pee particles in there, and it's dirty. I said, all right, you're right. I said, but it's water, and it's one way of drinking water. Here's the deal, John David. Pornography is like toilet water. It actually kind of feels good going down, but it's dirty. And God doesn't want us drinking toilet water. You get that? Yeah, I get it, Dad. Still shooting hoops. John David, has anybody ever tried to show you pornography? 9 years old. No, Dad, nobody's ever tried to do that. Here's the deal, John David. Someday, somebody is going to try to show you pornography. I guarantee it. Mom and I have done a good job of protecting you from that. But I just guarantee you that someday, somebody's going to try to show you pornography. So here's what I'd like to do with you, John David. I want us to talk through what that situation might look like. And I want us to proactively plan together what you can say and what you can do to get out of that situation. So let's role play. And I'm going to teach you some things that you can say, and then let's practice. And so I said, John David, one day you're going to be over at a friend's house or you're going to be at school, and somebody's going to say to you, hey, John David, come look at this picture on this computer, or come look at this picture on my phone. And here's what I recommend you say, John David. You can say, what's in the picture? And they say, well, it's a picture of a naked woman. And then, John David, you can say this. You can say, no thanks. I don't want to drink toilet water. And I don't want to look at a naked picture of somebody else's sister and somebody else's daughter. I'm saving my eyes for my wife one day. And then, John David, you walk away. And, John David, not only will you have resisted the temptation, but you'll actually have modeled for this friend or this person the correct way to respond. And maybe God will use you in their life. But either way, you'll have done the right thing, and you'll have walked away. All right, let's practice. I'm going to pretend like I'm the friend trying to show you something, and you can practice what you're going to tell me. And so, you know, we practiced. I didn't use pictures, but we practiced. Now, I pretend to be the friend, and I worked really hard to try to get him to come look at something, and he won it. And he, you know, said he didn't want to drink toilet water or look at somebody else's sister naked. It was great. He did a really good job. Listen, dads, this is a conversation that you must have with your sons. It's not that difficult. And it's actually a bonding thing between you and your son. Because you're equipping your son for a life. You're teaching your son how to defend himself. And he respects that. And it bonds you to him. Do it. Have the talk. Now, moms, we live in an age, I think 20 years ago, this would just be a dad and son conversation. We live in an age where, moms, you need to have this conversation with your daughter as well. All right, talk number three. Passport to Purity. So the next fill in the blank there is Passport to Purity. I think this could be the best suggestion I make to you the whole morning. Passport to Purity. I recommend having this weekend experience, dad with your son, mom with your daughter, the summer before sixth grade. The summer before sixth grade. I think seventh grade is okay. I wouldn't use this material that I'm recommending in eighth grade or older. We've aged out by the time eighth grade. And so in your notes, I listed another curriculum to use if it's eighth grade or older. All the things I'm recommending, I have in this bag here. I'm going to have them on the front row when I'm done, if you want to come and look at them. So this is Passport to Purity. It's practically empty because I already used it with my kids. All that's remaining inside this is the parent's manual because my kids have the kid's manual. But it's here for you to look at. So this is the kit by Dennis and Barbara Rainey called Passport to Purity. It's designed as a weekend getaway one-on-one. The kit includes a parent's manual to help you plan the weekend, 5 CDs to listen to together, 5 object lessons, a journal for your preteen with fill-in-the-blanks, a passport for your preteen to record his or her personal commitment in. The key elements of the weekend experience are a fun outing together, teaching object lessons, an opportunity to make a purity commitment, an opportunity for the parent to communicate what the dating year expectations and boundaries look like, a gift, and words of affirmation through a letter. I've done this with both of my boys. Lisa did this with our daughter, Grace. I'm going to walk you through my experience with John David. So the first thing I want to tell you about John David is that John David started begging me, literally begging me, to have Passport to Purity with him in fourth grade. I just want you to think about that for a second. John David had seen his older brother do this. He had seen his older sister do this. And now there's been a positive culture built in our family where he says, I want to do this. And he starts begging me in fourth grade to do Passport to Purity. I say, no. We're waiting until the summer before sixth grade. 3 months later, he begs me again. No. 3 months later, he begs me again. No. 3 months later, he begs me again. Finally, spring break of his fifth grade year, I say, you know what? You've been respectful in your begging. And we'll do this 3 months earlier than I planned. Spring break of fifth grade, we're going to do it. So I told John David, you and I are going to get away for 2.5 days together. John David, you can choose any place that you want us to go together within a 3-hour driving distance of our home. We're not flying anywhere. 3 hours driving distance, anywhere you want to go. So John David thought about it, and he chose Lake Somerville to go camping, and then an Aggie baseball game. That's what he wanted to do. So I said, all right, that's what we're going to do together. So we loaded up the car, and we head out towards Lake Somerville together. Spring break 2010, I took a couple of vacation days, and there we're off to go. Now here's the concept. Tons of fun together. 60% of our time, we're just having father-son fun together. 40% of our time, we're working through the Passport to Purity curriculum together and the projects that are associated with that. So we hop in our car. We're driving to Lake Somerville. On the way to Lake Somerville, we listen to the first 2 CDs. Here's the beauty of it. Dennis Rainey does all the work. He does all the work. I just pop in the CD. Dennis Rainey talks. We listen to it together. And then the little manual has 5 discussion questions for us to have and 1 object lesson. It's easy peasy. It is so easy because Dennis Rainey has done all the work. So we did 2 of those on the way to Lake Somerville. We stopped for lunch in Brenham, Texas. There's 5 object lessons. We did our first object lesson at some restaurant in Brenham, Texas, and it was my favorite object lesson. So we're sitting at our lunch table, and I bring out 2 paper bags, and then I bring out John David's favorite candy. And I say, John David, you and I are going to have a competition, and whoever wins this competition gets this. And so he's like, whoa. And I say, are you game? He's like, you bet I'm game. And so I say, John David, we're going to have a race to see who can put together a 100-piece puzzle the fastest. Your puzzle is in this bag. My puzzle's in this bag. Are you ready? All right, let's do it. Go. He dumps out his bag, and he begins to work on his puzzle. He has no box top. I dump out my puzzle. I begin to work on my puzzle. I have a box top. I cream him. I kill him. I obliterate him. I finish my puzzle way faster. He didn't get his done. I go, done. And he looks over and he's like, how'd you do that? And then he sees my box top and he says, that's no fair. He was mad. He was ticked. He was really angry. He said, that's no fair. You had a box top and I didn't. I say, ah, object lesson number one. I said, as you go through life, John David, you need a box top. Because having the box top makes the life puzzle come together way easier, with way more sense, and way faster. And you and I are going to be talking about a bunch of things these 2.5 days together. And we need the box top that God has given us. And the box top is His Word, the Bible. And it's the box top to life. It tells you how to live this life, and it tells you how to do the things that we're going to talk about this weekend. Do you understand that, son? Oh, yeah, Dad. All right, let's split the candy bar. And we split it. It's a great object lesson. So we arrive at Lake Somerville, and we set up camp. We went fishing. We played games together. We made a fire. We cooked steaks over an open fire together. We had s'mores. Matter of fact, that was our whole dinner, just steaks and s'mores. That's it. No veggies. And we just had a blast. Then we got in our tent, and we listened to CD number 3. Dennis Rainey did all the work. Then we did the discussion questions and the object lesson. Then we went to bed. That night, a wild boar came outside of our tent and was making all sorts of weird noises. Ask John about Passport to Purity. The first thing he'll tell you is about the wild boar. It was a blast. It was a memory maker. We got up the next morning. We broke camp. We started driving to College Station. We listened to the next CD in the car on the way to College Station, did the discussion questions in the project. We arrive at a hotel. We check in. We listen to the 5th CD, discussion questions, object lessons. Then we go to like a main event kind of place. We went bowling. We did Laser Quest. We did a high ropes course. We had a blast. Came back to the hotel, showered up, got dressed, went out to a nice restaurant for dinner. And really, this nice restaurant is the climax of the whole experience. And we already listened to all the talks and done all the projects. And now he's got this passport where he's checked off the 5 talks that we've walked through. And the middle page, the most important page, is a moral purity pledge, a sexual purity pledge. And I invite John David to enter into that pledge. I don't force him to. I ask him if he wants to. Here's the deal, parents. We can't force our kids into moral purity. We just can't. That's actually their choice. We can set boundaries for the first 18 years of their life, but we can't force them into it. It's a decision that they either have to make or they don't make. And so we give them teaching, and we set up the atmosphere, but they make the choice. And so I just asked John David, is this sexual purity pledge something that you'd like to enter into? He said, yeah, I'd like to do that. And so he signed it. I countersigned it. And then I read him a letter that I had written to him that just had words of affirmation and blessing in it, affirming in him the character qualities that I see in him. Then I got out a letter that his mom had written, and I read him that letter from her, words of affirmation, blessing, affirming his character qualities. Then I gave him a gift to remember this moment by, and he opened up. It was his first pocket knife. It was a Swiss Army knife, and he loved that. Then I communicated to him the Leggett family dating rules, and we'll come back to that. And then I prayed a blessing over him, and then we ate a great meal. Then we went to the Aggie baseball game, and they won, and then we drove home. It was a fantastic 2.5 days together, just fantastic. Memory maker in our relationship, and some great teaching. Dennis Rainey did most of the work. Now, I'll tell you just a little bit about the one that Lisa did with Grace, just so you know what maybe a girl's version of this looks like. So Lisa said, I'll drive you anywhere within 3 hours of where we live. And Grace looked back at Lisa and said, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay at home, and I want the boys to leave our house for 3 days. They kicked us out of the house. They kicked us out of the house. They had the whole house to themselves for 3 days. We're homeless. And for 3 days. So the gift to Grace was to redo her bedroom. And we allowed her to pick out and purchase one new piece of furniture for her bedroom. Then she and Lisa painted the walls afresh, decorated afresh. And so they're spending all this time in her room painting. And while they're painting, they're listening to the CDs of Dennis and Barbara Rainey. And they're watching movies. They're getting takeout food. And I don't get it, but they loved it. And all the same stuff John David and I did. They just did it in our house because that's the way Grace wanted to do it. And when it was all done, her room was completely made over in a new way, and all the same passport to purity stuff. It's a great way to talk to your children about these important subjects. You can do this. Now let me walk you through. I mentioned this Leggett family dating boundaries part of the talk during Passport to Purity. Let me just walk you through what that looks like for the Leggett family. You decide what it looks like for your family. But check it out. Summer before sixth grade, we're laying down way in advance what the boundaries are. So here they are for the Leggetts. You can participate in group outings, no couples, in junior high with an adult sponsor present. So seven guys and five girls all go to a movie together, no couples paired up, with an adult with you. That's what you're allowed to do in junior high. You can go as a group to the eighth grade dance, no couples, with an adult sponsor. So Smith and John David, you're not asking somebody a girl on a date for eighth grade dance. Grace, if a boy asks you to eighth grade dance, your answer is no. But you can tell them, I am allowed to go with a group with no couples. So seven guys and six girls can all go as a group together with an adult sponsor. You can go to ninth grade homecoming and Sadie Hawkins with a date. Yes, with a date, as long as there's a group of six or more people with adults driving and sponsoring. So you can have three couples where there was formal asks, and you can do that. You can start officially dating at age 16. Dates must be double dates. You can have a boyfriend or a girlfriend starting at age 16. You can go on single dates starting at the age of 17. And then for my daughter, I told Grace, until you graduate from high school, any boy that wants to ask you out needs to come and talk to me. Dads, I highly recommend this. It's a tangible way to protect your daughter and to show her love and to weed out the losers. It takes courage to go to talk to a girl's father. And you're teaching your girl standards to create for herself as she evaluates guys. So I'll just talk you through what this looked like, what the conversation between me and this guy looked like. I did this several times. So I remember one time a young man named Anderson came and invited her to go to homecoming. She said, well, before I can say 100% yes, you have to talk to my dad. So Anderson set up an appointment with me in my office. That's awesome. And so he comes into my office, and I say, Anderson, first of all, I just want to tell you, I think you've got guts. I think you're a courageous young man just for showing up here today. It took character to come here. So I just want to say, way to go. Anderson, I understand that you want to take my daughter to homecoming. Yes, sir. Well, in order for me to say yes, there's five things that I want to communicate to you. And if you're in agreement with these five things, then I'll let you take Grace to homecoming. So here are the five things. Number one, Grace is my princess. Grace is my princess. She's very, 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 very important to me. And so I expect you to treat her like a princess. If I say yes to you taking her to homecoming, then that means she's my princess on loan to you as a princess for 6 hours. And I expect you to treat her like the princess that she is. Number two, I expect you to be a gentleman. I expect you to open doors for her, to use good manners around her, and to treat her like a lady. Number three, if you're going to take her to homecoming, then it must be as a part of a group of at least six people, three couples or more. Number four, part of treating her like a lady is respecting her moral purity. Therefore, I expect you to keep things morally pure. Let me interpret this for you, Anderson. Keep your hands off my daughter. And number five, I expect you to have her home at the agreed upon time. Anderson, can you adhere to all five of these things? Yes, sir. All right, then I would be proud for you to take my daughter to homecoming. One more thing, Anderson. One day, perhaps, you might be a dad. And I challenge you to have the very same talk that I just had with you, with young men that want to take your daughter out one day. It's a way of showing love towards your daughter. Yes, sir. So, senior year prom, a young man asked Grace to prom. He came in and had a talk with me. And so I walked him through this talk, and I couldn't remember his last name. I knew his first name, but I couldn't remember his last name. And so at the end of the talk, I said, remind me of your last name. And he said his first name, and he said, well, Knight. Like the kind of knight that takes good care of princesses. I said, you're going to do good, young man. You're going to do good. Oh, boy. All right, talk number four, Purity Ring. So the next fill in the blank is Purity Ring. Purity Ring. We gave each of our children a purity ring around eighth or ninth grade as a part of the culmination of a student ministry purity conference. Now, today in student ministry, I think they call this the Axis Conference, which is about chasing hard after God, including moral purity. And so Axis Conference is a great time to do this. So we would just set up a special date with our child. It would be both Lisa and I together. And we'd debrief the Axis Conference, or the conference together. What'd you learn in that? And then we'd ask them the same question that we asked back in sixth grade. Would you like to commit to moral purity and to saving your sexuality until you get married? And if they say yes, then we give them the gift of a purity ring as a marker of that, and we pray over them. We did this with all three of our children. So what I'm about to share with you, I never anticipated. It blew me away when it happened. So Smith asks Ingrid to marry him. Fast forward 7 years after purity ring. Smith asks Ingrid to marry. They ask me to officiate. And then we're talking about the ceremony, and they say, we'd like to exchange, in addition to exchanging our wedding rings, we'd like to exchange our purity rings. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. So I think we got a couple pictures of them doing that. And I just want to read you the part of the ceremony where they exchanged purity rings. So I was officiating, and I said, before Smith and Ingrid exchanged their wedding rings, they want to exchange their purity rings. Both Smith and Ingrid have been wearing these purity rings since they were teenagers as a part of a commitment they made, that they each made to remain virgins until they got married. As teenagers, they each told God that with his help and his power, they wanted to obey his word and save all of their sexuality for their future marriage partner, and only for their future marriage partner. And today, Smith and Ingrid want to give all the credit and glory to God that they made it. By the grace of God, they made it. By the power of God's Spirit, they've come to this day having saved their sexuality. I think this is something to celebrate. Smith and Ingrid also want to send a special message to young people that not only can you do this with God's help, but it's worth it. And so now, this is the ceremony. Now, Smith and Ingrid, I want to invite you to exchange your purity rings. And so Smith took his purity ring and reached down and gave it to Ingrid. And as he did, he said, Ingrid, I have saved this for you. I give you this ring as a symbol of giving you myself in purity. And Ingrid took it. And then Ingrid, it was powerful. Ingrid took hers and she gave it to Smith. And she said, Smith, I have saved this for you. I give you this ring as a symbol of giving you myself in purity. Powerful. It's awesome. All right, talk number five. Before the wedding night. Before the wedding night. So the last fill in the blank there is before the wedding night. Now let me be clear. I'm not suggesting that you have the birds and the bees talk the week before they get married. That's just a joke. But I am suggesting that there's a part five to this talk that I think is suited for roughly the month before their wedding. The purpose of this communication is to help equip your son or daughter with the mechanics and techniques of marital sex. So I recommend that you give your son or daughter three resources, three tips, and one challenge. The conversation goes something like this. Son, I want to give you these three resources to help you with some of the detailed techniques and mechanics of marital sex. And then I'm here to talk if you want to talk about any of this. And so I gave him three gifts. The first one is a set of three CDs called Before the Wedding Night. This is three talks by Dr. Ed Wheat, who's a medical doctor, a Christian medical doctor, who gets very medical about sex, and specifically about the first time you have sex. And he explains it in detail. This is way beyond birds and the bees. This is like medical technique. And he does a really good job. I also want to give you a book that he read, that he wrote, called Intended for Pleasure, he and his wife. And again, he takes a medical angle to this, but he also talks a lot about technique, and he has a whole couple chapters on problem shooting. And I just think you're going to find this to be a good resource. And then, son, I want to give you this book called A Celebration of Sex for Newlyweds. And whereas the first two were good medically, this one is great for technique. And I think you're going to devour this baby. This will help make you a good lover. and I want to set you up for success. By the way, married couples in this room, there's a non-newlywed version of this that's out of this world that I recommend to you. It's called A Celebration of Sex by the same author, and I recommend it. I also want to share with you, I'm talking to my son or daughter, I want to share with you three wedding night tips. First one is, I challenge you to proactively talk through your wedding night plan with your fiancé before the wedding night. Let me tell you a story. When Lisa and I got married and we had our wedding and our reception, and then we went to the hotel, and I can't tell you how excited I was. And so I sweep Lisa off her feet. I carry her across the threshold into our hotel room, and I banged her head on the door frame. Don't do that. In my mind, we were going to be under the sheets within 45 seconds. That's just the way I played it out in my brain. 30 seconds after entering the room, Lisa says, "Let's order room service and talk about our wedding and reception." Outwardly, I was like, "Okay." Inwardly, I'm like, "Are you crazy?" But we ordered room service and talked about our wedding and reception. I tell that story to make this point. We had different expectations of what would happen and in what order. And it can alleviate unmet expectations and anxiety by just talking through. Let's have a game plan, fiance. Let's have a game plan of the general order of things that we'll do. It'll be helpful. Suggestion number two, several authors of Christian books make, and several people have found this helpful. Other people say, no way, Jose. But the suggestion is this. Save intercourse for the next morning, not that night. Have tons of sexual fun on your wedding night, but save intercourse for the next morning. The reason for this suggestion is that for a girl, for the very first time, there's a potential pain element. Now, Dr. Ed Wheat talks about that, and there's some things you can do to head that off at the pass, but there's a potential pain element, and that can create some anxieties. So if you save intercourse for the next morning, have tons of sexual fun that night, it can relieve some of that. Just a suggestion, talk about it, make a plan. Suggestion number three, stay in the city of your wedding for 24 hours before flying out. Do not schedule a 7 a.m. flight the day after your wedding. That's stupid. Don't do that. And then a challenge. I challenge you not to own a television for the first 6 months of your marriage. This is actually Dr. Ed Wheat's challenge. The first 6 months of your marriage, you are establishing the habits of your marriage. And television decreases communication and decreases sex. So I challenge you not to own a television the first 6 months of your marriage, and you'll communicate a lot better and a lot more a better sex. All right, time to land the plane. All the conversations that I've just described above are intended to foster an atmosphere where your children can ask questions as they think of them. Some of Lisa and I's best talks with our children weren't the scheduled talks, but the talks in between. But the scheduled talks open the door for the talks in between. Parents, it's our job to train and equip our children in this area. And so there's just one application. Sit down as a parent, and if you're married, with your spouse, and do it within the next 3 days. Write out a game plan for when and how you're going to talk to your children successively about this topic. Now, you want to know the best thing about all these awkward conversations? One day they're actually going to put it into practice, and they're going to make one of these. They're going to make one of those one day. And oh my word, does it make it all worth it? Look at the next picture. They're going to make one of those. Look at the next picture. They're going to make one of those. And then they're going to keep doing it, and they're going to make one of those. So Smith and Ingrid found out that they're pregnant again. They've been reading the book. And so come February, we're going to be grandparents two times over, and we're super, super excited. I want to invite you to a time of prayer, to pray about these things. And let me just mention one last thing that I've shared with all my children that I want to share with you. I'm going to talk to you now. And that is, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God lifts up these sexual standards, and we fail. But the whole reason that God sent his son is because he knew that many of us, he knew that all of us would fail. I think it's possible to get to your wedding date and remain virgins, but you'll have lustful thoughts along the way. And so what I taught all my children is, when you fail, know that that's why God sent his son, is to forgive you of any and all failures in your life. There is no sin that you've committed or that you will commit that's so bad that God cannot or will not forgive it through his son, Jesus Christ. And so, plead the blood of his son over your sins and invite him to sit in the driver's seat of your life again. I invite you to pray those kind of prayers as well as you come down. If you'd like one of us to pray with you at the altar, just cup your hands. Let's do business with God. Come on.